Just for a short review of last week, we spoke of how your Christianity should be single-eyed Christianity, very focused Christianity. It's very easy, and we're going to go over a little bit of that today. It's very easy today to get distracted from what we're supposed to be doing. It's very easy today to get distracted from the job that the Lord has put before us, but more than that, it's easy to get distracted over who we really are. And we really are, if you are born again in here and you're a child of the King, you've got to realize that you are a very important person to the Lord. The lost people are very important to the Lord. And that gives us a special job as Christians that we should care enough about those people to have a singleness of mind enough to decide that we're going to do something great for God. Now, He has a different job for every single person. I understand that. And we're not all going to approach our job or our occupation for the Lord the same way. And I understand that there's a lot of avenues to get jobs done. I get that. But understand this. There are things in our Christianity, there are things that the Bible teaches that are single and that cannot be changed, cannot be varied from, cannot be gone away from. There's things that are exactly the way the Lord wants them, and His Bible spells them out black and white, perfect, that we cannot stray from that. Now, the reason that we do stray from those things, and the reason we do incorporate our own ideas, the reason that there's different things that people decide that that's the way they're going to worship the Lord by lighting candles, blah, 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 you know all those other things. But the reason that those are there is because, one, we don't read this. So we don't know what's in it. We have no idea. Okay? If you read the Bible, you realize that if you don't get baptized, it does not send you to hell. But there's a lot of churches that teach that unless you get baptized, you're going to hell. If you don't read this, you don't realize that there truly is a hell. And there's religions out there that teach that there's no hell. So you've got to understand something. Every knowledge that we have, and I can't emphasize this enough to you, every knowledge that we have about the Lord Jesus Christ is contained herein. Everything about God is contained herein. Everything that we have, it better come from Him in here, or what is it? I mean, really, let's boil it down. If it is not contained in these pages and not contained in these sacred, what do we really have? Nothing. Lies. Make up. Tradition. Humanism. If we get outside of this, that's what we got. If you stay in here, you realize that humans have nothing. We got nothing to offer. Our righteousness is filthy rags. All the works that we do amount to nothing as to good at getting to heaven. Amen. So we've got to stay with singleness of mind, singleness of focus. And if we do that, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And if you realize what the Lord has for you inside these pages, your whole body will be full of light. You realize that you truly are a child of the King. When we get to heaven, the stresses of this world are going to be gone. The next few verses, I'm going to teach you these as the Lord is trying to help us with stress. I want to tell you something today. Stress, I believe, in my opinion, stress is the greatest detriment to our lives over every other health condition, every other thing that you can imagine. Stress will literally take you away from being healthy. Stress will take you away from God. Stress will take you away from doing spiritual things. Stress will take you away from prayer. Stress will take you away from so many things. And our life is filled with it. It's amazing. If you go back just 30 or 40 years, there actually was such a thing as a 40-hour work week. How many of you have worked 40 hours? I mean, good Lord have mercy. You realize what it was like to work from 8 until 4 and go home and make a wage that you can support your family. Today, oh no, you're going to work from 8 until 4 and then you're going to work from 5 until 9. Filled with stress, because we can't make our bills. Filled with stress because we've got a boss that is over us and riding us all the time. Filled with stress because we are in a place where we have forgotten what we truly are. Now, I'm not going to go into, well, maybe if you are struggling over bills, maybe stop buying cigarettes. I'm not going to go into, because I know that there's folks that may smoke and may not realize how much they're spending every month in cigarettes. I'm not going to get people mad at me today. I'm not going to go over the fact that we can't put our tithe in because our cable bill has not been paid yet. I'm not going to go over that, because if I go over that, then I'm going to get people freaking out and mad at me because they've got to have cable vision long before they pay the Lord. And I'm not going to go into the fact that, well, I've got to have a certain car, and to have that certain car, I've got to have that car payment. To have that car payment, I can't give to missions because I got to make my car payment. I'm not going to get into that today. But I do want you to think about something, now that you're all frowning. I wonder if we don't bring a lot of the stress on ourselves. When I was 19 years old, I had credit cards that were all maxed out. Did God do that to me? No, I had to have them. Because how would I get stuff if I didn't have a credit card? So you got to have stuff. If we don't have stuff, what in the world do we have? I mean, we can't invite people over without stuff. How embarrassing. But God did not put that in our lives to make that rule us. Let me read these next scriptures to you in this light. Verse 23 says, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" We learned last week that that's got to deal with, in my opinion, that's got to deal with, if you take your eyes off of Christ, which is the light of the world, and you try to come to God in some other way that's not godly, and all you're looking at is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then we talked about, Lord, Lord, have we, and that's later on in Matthew here, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done great works in thy name? And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Can you imagine? Well, they prophesied in his name. They did great works in his name. But then the Lord says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's a scary time. And then the Lord goes in. You see where we went last week. Now, this is very interesting that the Lord moves to this next subject. Because he's speaking of, in the last couple of verses, he's speaking of trying to get to God in a different way, trying to not have the Bible. It's amazing to me that people don't think that you need the Word of God to be saved. That's amazing to me. That you don't need this Word to be saved. You see how insane that is? The way I can just tell you about Jesus. No, you can't. Not without this. Because if you don't have this, how do you know about him? Do you see what I'm getting at? So then the Lord makes this interesting segue here, and then goes to verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. Didn't say you can't serve two. It says you can't serve two masters. There can't be two in charge of your life. Think about that for a minute. If we just stop right there with that first phrase and break this down right there, just right there, you have to agree that the Bible is exactly true. You cannot have two masters in your life. You can't devote your life to two different masters. Because if the Lord is master of your life, what are you going to think of? Seriously, what are you going to do? If the Lord is the master of your life, if the Lord had direct physical touch of your life and everything you did, the Lord could say, I want you to go here, Mr. Stevens. You would do it because the Lord has direct physical touch of your life. You can't serve two different people because, or two different things, whatever they are. You can't serve two masters. Can't. But look what the Bible says about this. This is intriguing to me that the Lord would make the next couple of statements. Got to remember, the Lord's the one preaching here. Don't you think that it's important that we listen to his sermon? To me, this is Christ preaching. This isn't R.B. Willett. This isn't Dr. Hiles. Great preachers. This is Christ preaching here. He says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one. Wait a minute now. He's saying, you will hate the one. In these particular verses, he's talking about money. He's talking about mammon at the end of this verse. And I'm going to take you into 1 Timothy here in a moment if I can ever get to it. These are very strong. Do you realize that the Lord uses the word hate here? Did you ever see this before? That he says, you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've heard the last part of that verse over and over again. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money, wealth, personified, by the way. In other words, what you deem to be is wealthy. That's very important. Because what you've got to understand is what you deem to be wealthy is not what God deems to be wealthy. If you look at this world, the people that we admire, the people that we hold up, should not be the people that reside in mansions. Should not be the people like Bill Gates that reside in great focus groups where he said, well, how did you become rich? He fell into the processor. That's how he got rich. The vast majority of the people, and I'm not saying they didn't work hard to get what they, I am very sure that they work hard. But according to the scripture, if his master is, he's driven by the need to make money, then he must hate the other master. You can't have two. You can't serve two masters. That's what the Bible says. So it got to thinking to me. I have seen people that are so against serving God because of the money. I have seen people that are against serving God because they can't break away from having wealth. Can I make a statement to you? Where in the Bible does it say that if you say that if you serve God, you will be poor? You know, it's amazing that we say, and it comes to this. Well, when we pass these around, the preacher's just wanting our money. When we pass these around, this church, all we ever talk about is money. We have got a sick, deluded idea of what our money truly is. We really do. Brother Freymeyer preached a tremendous message on money not too long ago. And it stirred my mind to think about what our money truly is. Your money is a tool. It really is a tool. It's a tool, and everything in your life, by the way, is no different. Every single thing that you have, every single thing that you are, get this now, is a tool. You can use those tools to serve your master, or you can let one of your tools be your master. It's not a race to the finish line to see who can have the most tools. It's not a race to the finish line to see who can have the greatest amount of tools. It's not a race to the finish line to see how, but if you literally surround your life with the thought of, I've got to make the almighty dollar, then that dollar becomes your master and you will hate the other master. Thought about that for a minute. How many people hate the fact that we pass out plates? How many people hate the fact that we talk about tithing? Hate it! Brother Rogers said, do you know what an idol is? You come to the point where you realize what an idol is in your life when you will not even think about discussing what that is and how God would feel about how you feel about that particular thing. In other words, you're not even willing to hear the preacher say the word tithe in church before you get mad. You're not even willing to hear the word offering in church and you're willing to get mad. You're not even willing to hear this. Why? Because it has become so important in your life that it's become an idol. It's become something that you will not, you will refuse to hear God, what God has to say about it. I'm going to be honest with you. Don't get in the Bible and listen to God about money if you're that mad. Because God desires to have your heart. We talked about this a few weeks ago. That where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where your heart is, that's your treasure. If God has your heart, everything else is a symptom. Everything else is a symptom. And you will, think about this for a minute, you will hate the one and love the other. Or you will despise the one and hold to the other. The Lord's not making a middle ground here. I came up with this thought. Because you are serving God, does that mean you can't have money? That's not what that says. That's not what that says at all. The money can't be your master because you already have a master. See, if you let God be your master, it doesn't mean you won't have any money. It's just that you'll let God have control of what you have. You'll let God know. And I'm not talking about the 10%. I'm talking about God will have control of your money. He'll have control of your thoughts about your money. He'll have control about the thoughts of the tools of your money. He'll have control not of the 10%. He'll have control of all of it. And I'm not saying you come in here and dump your paycheck in the plate. I'm not saying that at all. But here's what you've got to come to grips with. Where did you get your money? Come on, you got to be honest with yourself. You've got your health. Where'd you get that from? You got a job. Where'd you get that from? You got a car to get to that job. Where'd you get that from? You've got air to breathe. Where'd you get that from? If you really boil it down, your master has given you everything. Why in the world would we want to keep one of the tools back from the guy that built us the shed? We're willing to show up. We're willing to do those things. I find it amazing. Yes, it is an encouragement that you're here. It's an encouragement, and it's a good, pretty good crowd today. And it's an encouragement to see folks come. It's an encouragement to do those things. It really is. But glory to God. As servants of God, we ought to be here. We ought to be here. The Lord has given you a beautiful place to come to church. He's given you a place that's not as cold as it is outside to come to church. But if the furnace was broke, how many would come? During the summertime, if the air's broke, how many complain? We have, in this country, we've gotten pretty sick. We can only serve God as long as God will make us comfortable. We can only serve God as long as it doesn't hurt us too bad. We can only serve God as long as everything is going in the right direction according to God says. Do you know what that's doing? That's hating God. That's despising God. Because we are not willing to do what God tells us to do. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not that which I say? Now this may not be popular. Probably isn't popular. But I never really cared about popularity. What I care about is the simple fact that we realize who we are. We're children of the King. We are children of the King. If we would take our lives, we're being servants of God, and take our lives back in time to where if you didn't serve the King and do what the King says, you were killed or punished or whatever, how would God punish us for not doing what God has asked us to do? That'd be pretty rough. I know I would be punished a lot. I would live a life where if stripes were the payment, I'd have lots of them. I would live a life where God maybe has told me to do something, but I didn't do it. Now, what's this got to do with stress, Brother Dave? I want you to see this. What does this have to do with this stress that you're talking about that the Lord was trying to deal? Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Understanding. When we read this, we've got a very skewed vision of what a successful person is. Very skewed, okay? Here's a perfect example, and regardless of who this man is, I want you to think with me. You know up in, I can't remember what town it's in, but Mike Tyson lived right in this area. I can't remember exactly what town it is. I really don't care. $6 million mansion, huge thing. I drove by it when he was still living there. I had some work to do up there, and I drove by there. Beautiful place, just unbelievable how big it was. And across the front, iron gate, iron Mike Tyson. Okay, boy, what beautiful, And we look at the person like that. We say, man, what a success. Look at this big home he's living in, all these other things. Let me ask you a question. Was he successful? If you drive by today, the grass hasn't been cut in years. The place is falling apart. He's been in and out of bankruptcy. And this isn't I'm not talking about sports figures here. The sports figures are pathetic anyways. But let me explain something to you. What we deem to be success is nowhere close to what God deems a success. Yet we stress ourselves to the very max because we want to live up to the world standard, and we don't care about what God has for us. We desire to have a 6,000 square foot home, two-story in-ground pool, jacuzzi in the back. We desire to have all those things. And please don't misread me. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when that is what you focus on, is this is what I'm going to do in my life, then we are not single-eyed Christians. I'm not saying you can't have those things, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you are a servant of God, you must be impoverished. Nowhere. But you will realize that the money doesn't necessarily matter at all. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. This is one of those verses where you realize that, boy, you better keep a hold of your job, and if you're a Christian in that job, you better be the best worker in the place. And I think you should be. When they see you, they ought to see your Savior shining through at your job. They ought to say, man, I wish I had 100 of them. I've known a lot of drywallers in my life. Bobby's the only one, and I'm sure there's more. But Bobby Shell is a drywaller. If you've seen drywallers before, they're not what you call model people, okay? But when Bobby's on the job, listen to me now. When Bobby's on the job, they know he's a Christian. Because he carries himself different. If you're in the union construction whatsoever, you realize it is not the easiest crowd to work around. And you see a Christian come through, you'll know who they are. You are vastly set apart. If you're a tenth of a Christian, you're vastly set apart. Look at what this says. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So you act like a Christian here, you go out to your job site, you don't act like a Christian, what are you doing? And they that have believing masters, glory to God, you got a master that's saved, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, thank God we have a Bible that we can go to hear the words of Jesus Christ and read them, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if he teaches otherwise, if he teaches against what the Bible says, if he teaches against what the principles of the Bible are, what does it say? He is proud, knowing nothing. I'm not a smart man. But it seems to me if you're going against what God has to say in his word, you're proud, knowing nothing. But doting about, listen to this now, and I know some people like this, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Now wait a minute. We hear every single day on the television set that if you will pray to God seven times and we'll give you a prayer cloth after your $1,000 donation, that the Lord will rain these riches down upon you in a blessing that you cannot contain, because God desperately wants to prosper you. That's not what the Bible says. Gain does not mean you're godly. Gain does not, if you're a wealthy person in here today, this does not mean that you're godly. And these preachers that run about in these million-dollar mansions with these $30 billion complexes, preaching to 80,000 people, passing around Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets for offerings, does not mean they're godly. And this prosperity preaching should be pathetic preaching. Because your money does not make you right. Not saying you can't have money. But if you have to realize that your money is a tool. You have to realize that your money, the money that you have, the money that the Lord has entrusted you with, is a tool, not a master. I have heard preaching over and over and over again that because you have money, you must be right. And the Bible says that the rich ruleth the poor. That's amazing how true that is, especially in this country. Try to get a poor man elected president. I think we should have a poor man once. I think we should have somebody that worked all their life be president one time. I'd love to have some man that's 55 years old get in there that's worked and suffered and toiled all his life. And you think he'd get in there and say, well, glory to God, I think we should just give everybody money. You know what he'd say? He'd say, I think everybody should work for what they get. I wish we had that today. I wish we had it today where we don't give out rewards and benefits. We stress over the fact that we don't have enough money. We stress over the fact that we can't pay our bills. We stress over the fact we put ourselves in a position. God says, don't stress. Take no thought of your life because your gain does not mean you're godly. What you do with me makes you godly. We worry so much about what other people think of us. We worry so much, well, if I live in a shed, I could never have somebody come over to my home. I could never do the things that God wants me to do because I live in a shed. Where does it say that in the Bible? Jesus never had a home. Jesus didn't even take a pillow with him. Let me explain something to you. Who we are is not connotated by our pocketbook. Who we are is more important than what we have. Who we are is more important. The widow's mite, she got in the Bible. Do you realize the widow made it to the Bible? She brought forth two mites, right? She put them in. The Lord said, man, that's a wonderful thing that she did. She gave all that she had. It wasn't $1 million. Although it's amazing, we dote on a millionaire. But we don't dote on the person that gives all they have. We're screwed up. That's why we're stressed. We're stressed because we are trying to accumulate things. Let's read on. I love this. Because at the end of this, you're going to see a verse that you've heard 800 million times. And you're going to say, I can't believe that's at the end of what you just read. Look at this. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and go to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from which such withdraw thyself. Stay away from people like that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Doesn't say you can't have money. It just says whatever you have, be content. For, listen to this, you've heard this before in sayings. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Hey, listen to me. Bill Gates got a lot of money, but if he's not saved and he opens up his eyes being in torment, where's his money going to get him then? There ain't enough Microsoft processors to get you out of the lake of fire, brother. Let me explain something to you. The poorest person in this world is, if a saved person is that poorest person, when he gets to heaven, we're not going to remember money. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. How many are happy with just having food and clothes? We are stressed. But the Lord says, if you can be happy just having food and clothes, what great gain that is. What great gain is just realizing that you have what's supplied to you. Listen to me. We say, Well, I'm just going to go out and earn more money. What if God takes that ability to earn money away from you? I know a lot of folks, man. A good friend of mine, Joe Belusic, in high school was one of the great linemen. He was center for our high school football team when I was a freshman. He was the senior center. Big man. And one day he had a pain in his lower back. Now, he had a wonderful career that he was heading into of being an artist. He was a comic book artist, phenomenal. He could sit there in 10 minutes and have a perfect drawing of a comic book artist right in front of him, perfect. He was unbelievable, talented. One day he went to bed and had a pain in his back. He's never been able to walk since. I'm not telling you that God took that away from him. Please don't misread me. I'm not saying that. But what says that one day we won't be disabled? We rely on money, we're going to be sorely disappointed. But if we can rely on God, we should still be content no matter what happens. Look at what this says. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich. You ever heard somebody? I will be rich. I will be. I'm going to let my life be. That's what I'm going to be. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at the next verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We stress out. The vast majority of our stress comes from money. Think about it. The vast majority of our stress comes from money. The vast majority of our stress comes from things. I've only counseled one couple to be married. Remembering all the stress that's come into my life. The only stress that I've ever had in my life has been financial related. It really is. Because even though serving God, you would think, well, being associate pastor's got to be stressful sometimes. You know what? It is a little bit stressful sometimes, but you know what? It's amazing how God helps in the ministry. But when's the last time I gave my finances over to Him? God, do I really need to do what I'm doing? He doesn't say you can't do some of the things you want. But you've got to understand something. God is an uncanny knack of helping you to get through stressful situations if you don't put yourself in them. When's the last time we talked to God about what we're doing with our finances? When's the last time we talked to God about dealing with people and what they think of us? Because really all that's financial too. Just about everything we have is money related. Well, I care about how I look. Well, if you care about how you look, that means you have to have nicer clothes. That means you have to have nicer clothes. That means you have to have money to buy those nicer clothes. And it's a vicious circle that we put ourselves in because we are not content with what the Lord has given us. We're not content with who we are. We're not content with what we do. We're not content with where we've been. And it doesn't matter. If we finally get to where we want to go, there's someplace else that we got to go. If a lady has her hair blonde one day, she's got to have it black the next. And if women got gray hair, they got to color it because they don't like to be gray. Girl, you've earned it. Go gray. It's amazing to me how we look at that and say, well, old is bad. Think about this with me now. Think about this. We desire so much to have ourselves changed. Why do we do that? Did the Creator not do a good enough job making you? Think about that for a minute. I told my wife, she says my hair's receding. Maybe. I know it's not gray yet. But listen, if I go bald, guess what I'm going to be? Bald. I'm not going to fool around with putting a hairpiece on. I'm not going to fool around with a toupee. Listen, I've made fun of people all my life. Do you think having a toupee on is going to help my situation? I can see me being out in the wind. if you serve God and make Him your master, do you think you're going to care about what other people think about you? Come on now. This is simple stuff. If the Lord is your master, and the Lord decides, and by the way, the Bible said, let's look at it real quick. I don't care that the first bell's rung. Preacher's not here yet. Let's go back. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Look at what this says. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Amen. Amen. I'm better than a bird. He didn't die for the birds. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into unto his stature? If I could add a couple of cubits, I'd be an NBA star. But I can't do that. I can't sit here and say, man, I wish I was taller. Although, how many of us have said that? I can't say, man, I wish I was shorter. I can't say, man, I wish I was this, I wish I was that. No, God made you who you are. Why do we sit there and want to change what God has done? It's amazing that we think this way. Look at what it says. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look at this. Look at this now. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now this is the statement I'm going to make to you, and I'm all done. You look better when you're serving God than you will ever look serving the world. When Dr. Gray walks in the room, I love Dr. Gray, and I know he's a man, I know he's human, but when he walks into the room lights up. When Dr. Lacey walks into the room lights up. When R.B. Ouellette started preaching, and you need to hear me out here. When Dr. Cummins walked into the room, and Dr. Cummins was not the most dynamic preacher. He was not the most dynamic preacher. But when he walked into the room, you knew his Savior came with him. When I walk into the room, I pray someday that it's not my clothing that matters. It's not my raiment that matters. It's not my wealth that matters. When I walk into the room, someday I want the people to know that my Savior came with me. Because what do you care about your raiment? What do you care about your money? If God's with you, who can be against you? You take with you a different clothing, man. There's nothing uglier than a well-dressed Christian that doesn't serve God. Come on! You know it! You know that's true! And there's nothing nicer than watching a man walk in, and I think as a preacher you ought to do your best to dress well. But I would rather have a preacher with a tattered suit and a tie praising God and bringing him into the service with him than a $500 suit-wearing preacher that doesn't know God. Pretty to look at, but we didn't get much out of his sermon. When God decides, I'm going to dress you, Brother Mike Freimeyer, I'm going to dress you. And if you decide to let God dress you, how pretty is your clothing going to be? I know, I'm not talking about the clothing you can touch. I know God's not going to wake up. I've got a wife that takes care of that. You think I dress myself? You're crazy. I have to stand in front of you all counting on my ability to match clothes. But when I preach, I desire you not to see my suit. I want you to see my Savior. I want Him to be the one. I want Him to be my master, not this. I want him to be my master, not this. I want him to be my master, not what you think of me. I want him to be my master. I want him to be my master. I want God to be my master, because if I come here and I deliver him, he works through me to understand this. I am not the Sunday school teacher. I desperately want God to teach you. I don't want Brother Dave to be teaching you. I want God to be teaching you. I don't want to bring myself. I want to bring him. And if I'm doing that, I walk away content. If I do that, I walk away satisfied. If I do that, I walk away realizing that God has wrought the victory today, not me. Then when I walk into the room, I don't have to worry about delivering the greatest message. I don't have to worry about delivering the most wonderful anecdote. All I got to do is worry about standing there and let God use me as a tool. Let him be my master, not my money. Him be my master, not my stature. Him be my master. Hey, I'm all I've got. He's going to have to use me. Hey, all throughout the Bible, he used people that, are you kidding me? David? Are you kidding me? Paul? Are you kidding me? Moses? Well, these are great orators. No, they weren't. Moses had a tough time talking. I wonder if he could use you. Let him be your master today. He can't serve two. Let him, let God work through your life. It'll be a stress-free environment. It'll be a stress. You don't need antidepressants. You need Jesus Christ. You don't need more money. You need more Christ. You don't need more clothes. You need to let him clothe you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, please help us with the stresses of this world. Lord, we get involved with what this world has to offer, Lord, and it just consumes our lives. Lord, we cannot serve two. You can't serve two. So if we're going to try to make all the money in the whole wide world, we're not going to be able to serve God. I don't say that we don't need money. But Lord, I say that we should be content with what you provide. Lord, help us today. Help us today to relieve stress by serving you. Help us to relieve stress by realizing we are children of the King. Why do we fool around with this stupidity? Why mess around with that? We're children of the King. Lord, help us today. Help us today to look to you. Help us today to realize that you've got a wonderful job set before us that nobody else can perform, just us. Help us to get busy about it. Lord, help to relieve the stress and anxiety of these people. Help us to move the world out and move you in. Lord, help us today. We need you. We love you. Lord, become the master of our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.